Hello and welcome again to the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm your podcast host, Kelly, and thank you for choosing to spend a special time with me in fellowship today. I'm very happy to be with you. Before getting started on the meat of the podcast episode this week, I'd like to share an uplifting verse from the Word of God with you. The book of Hebrews reminds us that listening to the Word of God is only half of the responsibility we have as Christians. It reads, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." Good idea to remember as we share time together to listen, to take heed, and pay attention. With that, let's get started. God hasn't given up on you. You've done it again. You promised yourself you wouldn't. You told your spouse you were over it. You swore to your kids it was the last time. You looked into the eyes of your concerned parent and said, "Never again." But here you are. You thought things were going to be different. You were going to be stronger. You were going to overcome. You were starting fresh. Then it came, the familiar temptation. Maybe it was subtle, the idea that you could handle one glass of wine or visit just one disturbing website. All you needed was one tiny pill to get by or one embrace from your lover. But before you know it, you're tangled up in sin again, and the enemy pounces. His words are cruel and cutting. "Don't you see? You'll never be free," he says. "You'll always be bound to this. What makes you think anybody could forgive you? You've disappointed God. You let him down. You had your chance, and you blew it." You fear there's too much truth to his words. Can God really forgive you again? Aren't you just another lost cause, a failure he's tired of putting up with? If these questions are tormenting you, consider this verse from Psalm 145, verse 8. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." The secret that weighs on you. Maybe your sin isn't the habitual type. Maybe you committed one sin long ago that still haunts you to this day. It's the one thing you've never told anyone, that day you visited the abortion clinic, the moment of the inappropriate IM chat, or the time you skimmed money off the top at work or school. When you think about it, you still feel the familiar rush of shame and despair. You worry what God sees when he looks at you now. You imagine he shakes his head in disgust or throws up his hands in frustration. Consider the questions that Micah the prophet asked about God. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy, as it is written in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. One of God's wonderful attributes is his mercy. In Psalm 103, verse 10, David proclaims, "He, God, does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." You are more than your choices. Hours after her mother's funeral, Dana was on a flight to return to her home in Chicago. She got into a fight with two of her seatmates on the trip and became angry. Eventually, she started screaming at the other passengers, and flight attendants came to de-escalate the situation. A nearby witness had recorded the whole incident on their smartphone and uploaded it to the internet. By that evening, Dana had become infamous as the angry lady on the airplane. Suddenly, there were dozens of negative reviews of her employer's business on their Facebook page. Local news stations were calling for interviews, and many of her colleagues and friends distanced themselves from her. But Dana had a kind friend who came over to her and sat with her. Dana was ashamed and confessed it to her friend, I can't believe this is who I am, the bitter, screaming woman on the 11 o'clock news. Her friend said, Dana, you are more than your choices. Your identity doesn't stem from what you do, but from who God says you are. Maybe you can relate to Dana's story. You've never had a meltdown on an airplane, but you've done something you regret and you're left wondering if what you do will define you for the rest of your life. How do you see yourself? When it comes to our identity, most of us define ourselves in terms of what we do. For example, you see yourself as a writer, a dancer, or a house painter because these are activities you perform. Often we carry these identities with us into our interactions with others. Perhaps on meeting someone new, you introduce yourself with a word like doctor or lawyer or bank teller. Defining ourselves as what we do might seem harmless. After all, if you do good things, then you're a good person, right? But the moment you slip up, you've lost that identity. You're no longer the sweet, godly Sunday school teacher. Now you're that woman who lost it on the airplane while your seatmates are interviewed on Good Morning America. So if your identity rests on what you do, what happens when you're not good anymore? If who you are is what you do, then you might use other words to describe yourself. Words like failure, ugly, loser, worthless, unlovable, or useless taunt you. Suddenly, starting a new day is a chore. You slink through work and school, hoping to get by under the radar. You're angry one moment and despairing the next. But in all of this, there's one vital truth you're missing out on: how God sees you. Maybe you cringe to think about it. You worry that when God looks at you, he sees the same things you do. Oh, but that's not God's heart toward you at all, dear one. You see, your heavenly Father defines you not by what you do, but who you belong to, and if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then the question of your identity has been forever settled. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, so you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. As it is written in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. You are no longer what you do. You are what God has done. That means a whole new identity applies to you. Now you are accepted, as you can read in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. You are beloved, as you can read in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. You are redeemed, as you will read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And you are forgiven, as you can read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. God's mercies are new. Grant had committed a sin when he was younger. He had done his best to make amends for the situation and had asked for God's forgiveness, but he never quite felt like it was enough. So Grant spent the next 3 decades of his life trying to earn a good standing with God. He wanted to show his Heavenly Father that he was worthy of forgiveness and mercy. He went on mission trips, volunteered at local charities, attended church regularly, and taught Sunday school. He was a devoted husband and father. Still, he worried that he wasn't doing enough to impress God. He constantly feared someone would find him out and that God would be disappointed and disgusted with him. One day, a friend asked to meet for lunch. The two men went to their favorite grill, which was deserted in the afternoons. Paul, Grant's friend, said, I had to meet with you because I've been praying for you. God impressed on me that there was sin previously in your life. Grant felt perspiration roll down his back. He shifted in his chair, prepared to be kicked out of his church and community. I won't deny it, he admitted. I've done some horrible things that I'm ashamed of. When I asked God what sin you had committed, Paul continued, he told me he did not remember. To Isaiah the prophet, God declared, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more, as you can read in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. In Psalm 103, verse 12, David shares that God removes our sins from us completely. He says this about God's forgiveness: as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. This is not like mere human forgetfulness or some form of dementia. When God speaks of forgetting, he means he doesn't think on our sin again after we have confessed and sought repentance. God's nature is so merciful and so loving toward you that he views each new day as a wonderful opportunity to show you compassion and grace again. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. From Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Even if you weren't your best self yesterday, even if you went back to the same old sin, even if you knew better and you still found yourself on that website, having that drink or taking those pills, God forgives you. He extends his mercies to you again today. You are not forsaken. If God's mercies are new each day, why do you still feel like such a failure? If God has so much compassion, then how come you still cringe when you look in the mirror? If you are God's child, why is it so hard to believe that he loves you? There's an accuser out there, Satan. He lives to condemn, shame, and terrify you. He can't change the wonderful identity that God gave you when you accepted Christ as your Savior. He can never, ever alter the fact that you are a child of God. Oh, but he longs to keep you from living out this identity. Imagine it like this. You take Bill Gates' beloved child. You convince this child that he or she is worthless, a failure, and a fraud, completely unlovable. Pretty soon that kid begins living out the words you've spoken over him or her. Now, you didn't change the identity of the child. You didn't have that kind of power. But you did work hard to change the child's perception of who they were. That's the same thing that Satan is working overtime to do to you. Your identity is secure for now and for all eternity. When you hear the voice of condemnation, know this: this is not the voice of your loving Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Later on in the same chapter, Paul expands on these thoughts, saying, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. From Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. Jesus doesn't just forgive us. He actively prays for us. Think about that for a moment. Right now, while you're listening to these very words, Jesus is standing in the throne room of God, praying over you. He's asking God to give you the strength and the grace to overcome your trials. He's praying that you feel the depth of his love and the comfort of his presence.
Thank you again for spending this special time with me on this episode of the Romans 10:17 podcast. I'm glad to have this time with you. Every Wednesday, I will deliver to you a new podcast episode, sometimes devotional stories, scripture studies, Christian living examples and points of view, Bible studies, and so much more. Here's a small preview of the next episode you'll find here on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Finding healing from past wounds. Shannon was raised by a mother who constantly put her down. Growing up, she was told she was stupid, lazy, and worthless. She internalized these words and accepted them as truth. As a result, she struggled with poor self-esteem for most of her adult life. She dealt with the pain by moving from one romantic relationship to the next. She kept waiting for a man to tell her she was worthy, to give her value. But as each relationship would end, she only felt lower. It wasn't until Shannon went on a Christian retreat with her best friend that she had the insight that she'd spent years waiting for others to set her free from her mother's cruel words. That was the day Shannon decided to ask God what words he spoke over her. To her delight, she discovered that God describes her as his beloved child, as you can read in John chapter 1, verse 12, an overcomer, as you can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. She is forgiven, as you can read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. She is chosen, as you read in John chapter 15, verse 16. She is wonderfully made, as you read in Psalm 139, verse 14. She is also set apart, from John chapter 15, verse 16. She is his masterpiece, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And she is a friend of God, from John chapter 15, verse 15. Everyone carries baggage. Like Shannon, it might be due to an emotionally abusive parent, or maybe it's to do with a friend's betrayal or an addiction that you can't seem to let go of. Waiting for someone else to set you free can be exhausting and painful, but God is eager to heal you from every hurt, wound, and heartache that you have experienced in your life. That's the next episode on the Romans 10:17 podcast. I look forward to being with you then. Now, back to our current episode, and most of all, again, I say thank you for listening. You have value and a purpose. Despite your failure, sin, or addiction, God still values you. He still has a purpose for your life. Some of the people who God used in amazing ways really messed up at times. Consider the life and times of David, king of the nation of Israel. This man, after God's own heart, as you can read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 14, didn't always get it right. He took a woman who was not his, as in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, overlooked the rape of his own daughter, as you can read in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 22, and killed the man, as you can read in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. Not exactly credentials you want to put on your resume. Yet, for all David's failings, God did not give up on him. He still used the warrior king to accomplish his purpose. Like David, your mistakes and flaws don't mean that God can't use you. If anything, your failures only enhance God's glory. They are further proof of the goodness of God even in the middle of our human frailties. No wonder David proclaimed, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever," as you can read in Psalm 138, verse 8. In fact, God's plans for your life are numerous, as David mentions in Psalm 40, verse 5, "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us." These aren't just ordinary plans either. These are plans for your good and God's glory. The same words that God proclaimed over the nation of Israel, he still speaks over you today. "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You can read this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Despite what you may have done yesterday, how you may have messed up today, and even what you do tomorrow,
You cannot alter God's beautiful plan for your life. His purpose will be accomplished in and through you because you are His beloved child. Here are some devotional thoughts for your journal. Redemption in the wilderness. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. You can read this in Acts chapter 7, verse 25. Failure, table for one, please. Moses probably had that thought just about every morning. He'd witnessed a slave driver beating one of his own people, so Moses had jumped in and defended the helpless slave. In the process, he killed the slave driver. When others heard about this, Moses ran into the wilderness. He settled down and married. He had children of his own. Sometimes a dream would wake him in the night. In it, he imagined getting a do-over, a chance to change the outcome, save the man's life. But each morning he woke to the same cold reality. He made his choices, ones that had forever altered his life, and he thought that was the end of it. Some deliverer of Israel he'd turned out to be. Until the day of the burning bush, God's fresh calling on his life. Suddenly, Moses had purpose again. When he'd given up on himself, God hadn't. God still wanted to use him, and he equipped Moses with everything that he would need for the journey. Father God, sometimes I'm like Moses. I know you have a beautiful plan for my life, but I rush ahead and I mess it all up. Help me to be patient, to remember that you can and will redeem my failures. And it is in Jesus' name I make this simple prayer. Amen. Do you believe God has a plan for your life? And what do you think that plan might be? Have you ever lost it in a fit of rage? What did you do? How do you normally handle it when you've flown off the handle and lost control of your temper? Second chances. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as you can read in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. James spent most of his life in and out of prison. After accepting Jesus into his heart during his last prison stay, he made a promise to live his life differently. But that wasn't easy on the outside. James had difficulty finding work, and he was struggling to keep a roof over his head. He wondered if God was punishing him for the life he'd led all those years ago. Then an encounter outside the grocery store changed everything. James struck up a conversation with a woman struggling to calm her autistic son. He helped soothe the boy, and when he was quiet again, the mom asked James about himself. She listened to the story of how God had changed his life. When he was through, she gave him the address of a local steakhouse. "Go there," she said. "Tell the manager I sent you and see what happens." James thought her instructions were strange, but he went to the restaurant. He asked to speak to the manager, expecting to be thrown out. When the manager appeared, he had James fill out a job application at the nearby table. The manager looked over the paperwork and extended him a job on the spot. He said, "Every person working here was once like you. Each one had a record, but this is your fresh start. When you walk in these doors, it doesn't matter what your past was. All that matters is who you are now." Like James, you may feel you have a record that follows you around, but if you are a child of God, your record has been expunged and your name cleared. You have been set free. Father God, help me when I feel chained to my sin to remember that I am free. Help me to walk in that freedom even when it's hard. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you struggle with thinking that God is punishing you for some past sin? Have you ever helped a stranger in the middle of a crisis? How do you handle it when someone extends grace to you?
Do you gratefully accept it, or do you try to earn it back? Son of encouragement. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. You can read in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. When Paul was first saved, no one in the church believed him. He'd spent years tormenting good Christians. In fact, he was present at the stoning of Stephen that you can read in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and constantly threatened those who followed Christ. The church's fear of Paul was a natural response. It's normal to be suspicious of those who haven't proved themselves yet. In fact, it's a good thing for the body of Christ to carefully consider whether someone might be a wolf in sheep's clothing. But Paul truly had experienced a change of heart, and somehow Barnabas knew this. Maybe God sent him a vision in the night. Perhaps it was the result of God's spiritual gift of mercy to Barnabas. Whatever the reason, Barnabas looked beyond what Paul was to what he could be. He welcomed him into deep community and fellowship when no one else was willing to give Paul a chance. Sometimes God calls us to take a chance and extend friendship to a person that others have written off. Listen to these spirit promptings and trust what God is doing. You never know. This might be the start of a beautiful friendship. Father God, thank you for people like Barnabas who lift up others. Open my eyes to someone around me who could use a friend today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever had a Barnabas who encouraged you? Is there someone in your life that you could be a Barnabas? How can you reach out and encourage this person today? The Scarlet Thread. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho, as you can read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Before the nation of Israel was going to enter the promised land, Joshua sent spies ahead of them. He wanted to know the lay of the land before he led the troops into battle. The two spies who were sent into the land were hidden by a local named Rahab. She was a village prostitute who saved the lives of these two men. In exchange, she wanted her life and her family spared when the Israelites came to destroy the nation. Joshua's spies agreed to this. They told her to leave a scarlet thread hanging in her window. This would be a sign to the Israelite troops that no harm was to come to anyone within that house. The wonderful thing about Rahab's story is that it doesn't matter what she'd done or who she'd been before. What mattered was the one choice she made to believe in Israel's God. In many ways, the scarlet thread is representative of what it means to be a Christian. Once the scarlet thread is in your life, it doesn't matter what you've done or who you've been. God has forgiven you, and you're now under His protection. God, thank you for brave women like Rahab. Help me to remember that you didn't count her past against her, and you don't hold mine against me either. Thank you for your forgiveness and acceptance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here are some thoughts for your journal. Have you ever protected your family against a threat? What are you ashamed of in your past? How has God protected you in a difficult circumstance? The Forgotten Father. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, as you can read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Cindy's father had been an alcoholic for years before finally abandoning her family when she was 10 years old. After that, she never saw her father again. For years, Cindy was angry at the man. She struggled to understand how the person who had given her half her DNA could just walk away from her. After deciding to forgive him, Cindy wrote a letter to him. But she couldn't find an address for her father. She started reaching out to relatives and family members trying to track him down. Along the way, she learned something she hadn't known about him. "I realized he'd had a tough life," she explains. "It doesn't excuse his poor choices. He still did things that were painful, but I started seeing him as more than my dad. I saw him as a flawed human being who needed love and forgiveness and grace just as much as I do." When Cindy finally did track her father down, she found that he was homeless on the streets of Miami. She helped him get his own place and begin a life again. "Things aren't perfect between us now or anything, but we're getting to know each other bit by bit. God, help me to see the people around me through your compassionate eyes. Let me focus on how much others need your grace and mercy, just as I need it daily. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Some thoughts for your journal. Is there someone in your life that God is nudging you to forgive? What have you learned about this person? Does it affect how you view what happened? Is there someone in your life that you've hurt and need to apologize to? The Romans 10:17 podcast is sponsored in part by the publishers of the Christian audiobook, Please Just Talk With Me, Stories, Prayers, Scriptures, and Thoughts God Has Been Waiting Your Entire Life to Share With You. The topics of conversation you can have with God are truly endless. In this Christian audiobook, you'll discover that you can talk with God about healing, understanding conversation and prayer with God, forgiveness, extending grace, honoring motherhood and fatherhood, finding peace, and so much more. You can find your copy of the Christian audiobook, Please Just Talk With Me, from your favorite audiobook retailer worldwide. Just go to the retailer website and search the title, Please Just Talk With Me. A great gift for yourself or anyone you know who needs to have a conversation with God. Courtesy of the publishers at Positive Life Audiobooks and the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, back to our episode that we're listening to today, and thanks again for joining me here on the Romans 10:17 podcast. The Love of Hosea. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son, as you can read in Hosea chapter 1, verse 3. The nation of Israel had stopped seeking God's heart. Instead, they were busy worshiping idols and offering sacrifices to pagan deities. Their hearts were far from God, and they did not honor him. But God longed to illustrate his faithful love for the wandering nation, so he commanded Hosea to take a wife. Not just any wife, but one who was promiscuous and unfaithful. Hosea obeyed God and married a woman by the name of Gomer. She was beautiful and wily, a temptress who rarely stayed with the same man long. Yet she accepted Hosea's marriage proposal. After time had passed and Hosea's wife had several children, she abandoned the family. She left Hosea to pursue other men, just like Israel had left the one true God for other deities. Then God commanded Hosea to go after his wife Gomer. She'd been captured and sold into slavery, but God wanted to reclaim her. That's because God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. He still loves us and seeks after us despite our sins, failures, and imperfections. God, thank you for the love that keeps reaching for me. When I'm tempted to give up on myself, help me to remember the story of Hosea and Gomer. You are faithful even when I mess up. In Jesus' name, amen. For your journal, here's a few thoughts. Which Bible story about God's mercy and forgiveness is your favorite? In what ways have you acted like Gomer? Have you been unfaithful to God in the way you've spoken or acted lately? How has God been redeeming you from past failures or sins? Feed my sheep, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. As you can read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Can you imagine the pride and happiness that must have flowed through Peter upon hearing the bold promise made over his life by the Messiah? It wasn't about position or prestige. Peter sensed God's approval and unconditional love in that moment. Do you think he remembered that feeling when the rooster crowed for the third time? Sitting on the porch steps and weeping bitterly, Peter must have felt like everything was crumbling. Jesus was mistaken about me, he whispered to himself as he returned to his ordinary life. He was no rock, no great church would spring from him. He was just Peter, the one who had failed Jesus. When Jesus seeks Peter out again, he asks a pointed question, "Do you love me?" Peter responds that he does. The conversation continues and Jesus asks it again. After the third time, Peter gets frustrated. "Of course I love you," he says, and as soon as the words leave his mouth, Jesus whispers, "Feed my sheep." Jesus was doing something important to that conversation. By asking, "Do you love me?" he was realigning Peter's focus. It wasn't about what Peter had failed to do or his betrayal. What really mattered was that Peter focused on his love for the Messiah. But Jesus was also doing another thing. He was reaffirming his call over Peter. That's why he whispered to Peter to go and feed his sheep. Just because Peter messed up big time didn't change God's calling for his life. It's the same way when you sin. Just because you've failed doesn't mean that God has thrown you away. No, he will redeem you just like he did Peter. God, thank you for including stories like Peter's in the Bible. It helps me to remember that I'm not the first or the last saint who will fumble. When I've sinned, please forgive me and realign my focus. Reaffirm my calling and help me to walk in your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And some thoughts for your journal. Have you ever promised to do something only to go back on your word? How did you handle the experience? Did it affect how you viewed yourself? What good work is God doing in your life? And are you sharing it with others? Well, here we are again, coming to the close of another episode of the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes I wonder where the time goes. It just seems to go so fast. Every Wednesday, I will bring a new episode with me to the table, if you will, where we can enjoy a coffee or tea together during a time of fellowship, or maybe you share your time with me while you're working around the home or office or driving on your way somewhere. Any way that you share your time with me, I truly appreciate. Thank you again for your time spent with me, and I pray to be with you again next week for another episode of the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My friend, be blessed, be strong, be confident, and always be listening for the still small voice of God.